Hey, thanks.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Christian Church. We are very happy to have everyone here today. Thank you to those who attended the meeting this morning for information, and thank you to Dennis Baker for organizing that and kind of taking the lead on the info. We'll listen to Donna's prelude, and then we'll do announcements. Again, good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. Candlelighters had a little issue. We had to wait till the air conditioner quit so that the candles would stay lit. First of all, let's work on signing the friendship sheets as we do the announcements. Next week is very busy. We're going to start out with the VBS Worship on the Mountain, everything next Sunday. VBS starts on Saturday. It's a safari in Bear Trap Meadows, so if you happen to be up there, watch out for the lions and tigers. Sign up is still going on, and they've got a lot of activities ready to go. On Sunday, Worship on the Mountain starts at 11. There will be a potluck following. Bring a covered dish, and most importantly, bring your lawn chairs. Chicken will be provided. Fall Feast Workday is next Saturday. There will be food included, but you need to sign up so that they make sure they have enough. There's a lot to do here to get ready for Fall Feast, and all attendees will be appreciated. Second quarter financial statements are on the table right outside. Just pick them up, and there are a few cards yet from the Meeks family, some thank you cards. They're also out there by the table. There is one announcement. Bob Malloy and Bev Reese will be playing tomorrow night at the Crescent Moon Coffee Shop. That is next to JS Chinese on 2nd Street. Art, Core Music, and Poetry Series. It starts from 7 and goes till 9 o'clock. Be sure and check out any other announcements. We already have stuff coming up for August. They are in your bulletin, so just check those out. Are there any additional announcements? Okay, let's stand and greet each other, and then we will sing hymn number 275. Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship. We are here.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near.
We are no longer like outsiders in a foreign land, but our fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God.
Let everyone praise the Lord. God of all creation, you made the earth and all that is in it. You sent Jesus to show us your way of love and continue to pour out your Spirit on us. Thank you for Jesus' invitation for followers to step aside and rest. Renew us in this hour of worship that we might be refreshed and ready to rise up, eager to return to the work for which you call us. Hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
May be seated. Please turn in your hymnals to 572. Our hymn of prayer today is Take Time to Be Holy. We'll sing the first and last verses. Our friend Joan McNamara is going to lead children's time this morning. I would invite Joan to come forward and all of the kids as well.
God. Thank you. All right, I've asked a few other big children of God to come with me. Okay. There was a reason, I guess I forgot Baby Lion today. How many of you put in a name for Baby Lion? Good. Well, there's a lot more slips downstairs. There is another reason I forgot. I was given a gift just now that I'm going to share that fits into our safari scene. It's a baby monkey. Aww. Maybe we need to name Baby Monkey when we go back to in the back room. Isn't that cute? Isn't he sweet? And while we were singing this first song, the second song, something caught my eye that is not planned, but I'm going to do. Take time to be holy, speak oft with the Lord. Now, we're going to do something right now that deals with this, okay? I want you all of you, to repeat after me. So pray.
So pray.
God's people.
God's people.
Nothing's too small to say.
Nothing's too small to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pray, God's people.
Pray, God's people.
Spend time with God today.
Spend time with God today.
He'll listen to you.
He'll listen to you.
Okay. Now what I'd like everyone to do, you can sit down if you want, is to close your eyes. We're going to spend a few quiet minutes. Close your eyes, listen to this song. And when you hear the refrain, join in if you feel like it. All right? Here we go, I think. This is one of our VBS songs. Remember several weeks ago I said one of my favorite Bible verses was
be quiet so you can listen to God.
Be still and listen to God. He is always there ready to listen to us. Okay, we've talked a lot about prayer, haven't we, in the last month, and about forgiveness, God being with us. So let's all close our hands or lift your hands up in prayer. And remember, there's many ways to pray. Let's all say a little prayer. Repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Gracious and loving Son.
Gracious and loving Son.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Fill our lives.
Fill our lives.
Help us to be quiet in this busy world.
Help us to be quiet in this busy world.
To listen to you.
To listen to you.
To learn to love as you love us.
To learn to love as you love us.
And walk in your ways.
And walk in your ways.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You want to come back?
What?
You want to come back with us?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, come on, kids. Let's go.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you, children.
Thank you all.
On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. As our children head out to Children's Church, I would encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card share this morning is for Amber French. She has been struggling with anxiety and having a hard time sleeping at night. Please pray that God brings calm and peace to her spirit and helps her deal with all the stress that she has been feeling. Among those who are living with cancer, we continue to pray for Dave Baker in Seattle. Rick and Terry Black just had a trip to go and visit, and they really enjoyed their time with Dave. He knows that his time on earth is somewhat short, and he is making the most of the year or two that he has left. Our prayers are with him for peace as he continues to go through chemo and live life to the fullest. Rita Peterson has asked us to pray for her daughter, Frankie, who's been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. Prayers for Trisha Wood's dad. He was diagnosed this week with multiple myeloma. He'll have a PET scan this week. Prayers for him as treatment begins. A prayer of joy for Caleb Woods. He's getting ready to go to Camp Wioba for a few days. He'll be there this evening through Wednesday up on Casper Mountain. Prayers of blessings for him as he is at church camp. Nina Heitrich asks for prayers for her brother-in-law, Bob, who's been diagnosed with cancer, and for Bob's sister, Debbie, who is struggling. Prayers for Trisha Nichols. She is recovering well from knee surgery. She has a temporary knee implant. She will undergo 6 weeks of antibiotic therapy. And then at the end of that time, if her body is free of all infection, then she'll get a new knee, kind of a similar journey that Stan McIrvin went through. Trisha is thankful that she's made the decision to have this procedure because she said she's already in less pain than she was in before, and that's encouraging. Prayers for Mary Burgess, who has been struggling with blood pressure issues. Mary and Ed were at chapel this morning. We were thankful to see them. The missionaries we're lifting up today are Glenn Hebert and Marilyn Cooper, who serve in Ecuador. And our regional prayer partners are the members of Village Christian Church in Colorado Springs. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign and send greetings. Are there others this morning that we need to add to our prayer list, concerns or joys to share? Tom.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, Dennis, out about, he got to go to put in that pacemaker. He had one for his daughter. So he can't make it to that wedding, his youngest son's wedding Friday.
Prayers for Tom's brother-in-law, who's having a pacemaker put in. And prayers of rejoicing that his nephew is getting married. So blessings on the whole family. Keith. Prayers of wisdom and discernment. This morning, our congregation had an initial conversation just to talk about the process of considering whether or not we might call an associate minister. This will be a long process just to make the decision as to whether or not this is a direction God is leading the church. So we pray for God's wisdom to guide us as we continue to engage in conversation with one another and explore that possibility. Are there others? Debbie. So just in case you couldn't hear, Debbie, there was a youth group from the Methodist Church in Boulder who was with us over the weekend. They stayed at King's Corner. They helped with the sandwich ministry and the blanket ministry. Prayers of safe travel home for them after this weekend of service and mission. Yesterday, 18 blankets were completed and 3 more had been tied at home and were donated. The total so far for the blanket ministry over the past few years is 795 blankets. Have been made, and most of those have already been given away to people in need, either the homeless who are cold in the winter or people who've needed a sign of comfort and love. What a great ministry that continues to be. Are there others? Then let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O God of grace and glory, by the miracle of faith, Lord, you choose to dwell within us, diverse people from different backgrounds called to be one in Christ, become your own home, O God. We thank you for choosing to live in our midst and shaping us to know your will. Lord, we pray for all those that we have named today. We ask your healing hand to be upon Amber as she struggles with mental and emotional stress. Ease her suffering, O God. Help her to rest well and regain balance in her life. Lift the burdens she is carrying. We pray for Dave, for Bob, for others who are living with cancer. We pray for peace for Debbie Kunzel, for Frankie as she lives with a new diagnosis, and for her mom Rita and all of the Peterson family. God, surround them with your peace and give them your strength. We join with Tom in praying for his brother-in-law for a safe surgery when he has a pacemaker installed, and we ask your blessing upon his nephew's wedding. Oh God, we ask for healing for Trisha Nichols, as her body fights infection, so that she is strong enough to receive a new knee in 6 weeks. Lord, please be with the Woods family, especially with Trisha's dad, as he struggles to understand what it means to be diagnosed with multiple myeloma. We thank you, God, for the progress in cancer treatments, for research that has been done through the ages. We pray for continued advancement in treatments. Lord, we ask that your spirit of peace will be with him when he has a PET scan this week and in the weeks to come as treatment begins. Holy God, we rejoice in youth who are eager to serve you. We pray your blessing upon Caleb as he goes to Camp Wioba and the other campers and counselors who will be together this week on Casper Mountain. We ask your blessing upon Vacation Bible School next Saturday, especially with our children who will learn even more about prayer. Lord, thank you for the youth group from Boulder, for their eagerness to serve you, and for the ways in which they learned about your love this weekend, shared here in Casper with the Sandwich Ministry and the Blanket Ministry. We continue to ask your blessing upon those works and those who benefit from them. O God of wisdom, we pray for your leadership for our congregation as we discern a path forward together into the future. Lord, all of us long to be engaged in vital ministries which make a difference in our community. We thank you for the ways in which this church cares so well for members, for the ways in which we welcome visitors to come and to know you here. But God, we know that there is more that we could do. By your Spirit, we pray for wisdom and discernment to know whether or not calling an additional ordained minister to join our staff is the best path forward. Lord, in all of our conversations, may we listen openly and lovingly to one another and to your holy guiding. We pray your blessing upon Glenn Hebert and Marilyn Cooper and the work they do in Ecuador. And we pray, Lord, for Pastor Bob and the members of Village Christian Church in Colorado Springs. Holy One, there are other prayers in our hearts and our minds that we have not yet formed into words. We ask humbly that you would look within us and know the longings of our spirits to love you and to serve you. Hear our prayers, O God, those we speak aloud and those that stir in the silent secret places of our souls. In Christ's name. Amen.
Tithing is a reminder that God is the supplier of everything we have. It is also God's personal invitation to experience an outpouring of his blessing in each of our lives. In Malachi 3:10, God essentially says, "Go ahead, I dare you. See if you can outgive me." And in Corinthians 2:8-7, we are encouraged to excel in the grace of giving because God influences the world through his people. He gives to you so he can give through you. As we faithfully give, the world is changed for the glory of God. The life Jesus offered is preached. People are fed. Brokenness is healed. Churches are built, and each of us in turn are blessed by God so we can give again. When Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission, he told them not only to go into all nations baptizing, but also to obey everything he commanded of them. One of those commands was to break bread and drink the cup in remembrance of him. Today we come together again, ready to follow the commands of our Lord and Savior. Starting from the front, come forward by the center aisle. You will have a choice of taking a piece of bread and dipping it into the cup, or you may choose the wafer and a cup of juice. The offering trays are on both sides of the aisles for your envelopes and your prayer cards. If you choose to remain seated, you will be served. Our hymn is number 400.
When we do this, when we take bread and cup, we remember the Lord. When we do this, when we welcome stranger and friend alike to sit down and share a meal, we welcome the Lord. When we do this, when we bring our tithes, our lives, and even our own sin to lay at the foot of the cross, we remember Christ, and he is here. We recall the night when he met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his friends and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Eternal God, from whom all blessings come, we give thanks for the invitation to come to your table once again and to partake of the bread and the wine, symbolic of Christ's body and blood at his sacrificial death for us on the cross. For this great love, we are deeply moved and eternally grateful. May our lives increasingly reflect Christ's compassion for others in all we do and say. And thank you again for welcoming us to this, your table. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Bless these gifts, O God, and use them in your service. We offer them out of love for you and all you have created for us. We ask you to guide us to use them to further the reach of your love to all the earth.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. From a distance, there is harmony, and it echoes through the land. It's the voice of hope.
It's the voice of peace.
It's the voice of every man.
From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no bombs, and no disease, no hungry mouths to feed.
From a distance, we are instruments marching in a common band, playing songs of hope,
playing songs of peace.
They're the songs of every man. God is watching us. God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. From a distance, you look like my friend, even though we are at war.
And from a distance, I just cannot comprehend what all this war is for.
From a distance, there is harmony, and it echoes through the land. It's the hope of hopes.
It's the love of love.
It's the heart of every man. It's the hope of hopes. It's the love of love. It is the heart of every man. And God is watching us. And God is watching us. And God is watching us from a distance.
Oh, God is watching us. God is watching. God is watching us from a distance. Our
scripture this morning is from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. You'll find it in the New Testament on page 192, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in your world. But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God.
We will hear the same text again from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, which puts these same words into more contemporary language to help us understand. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you were outsiders to God's ways. You had no idea of any of this. You didn't know the first thing about the ways God works. You hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of that rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel. You hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. Now, because of Christ dying that death, shedding that blood, you who were once out of it altogether are in on everything. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. Then he started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everyone. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and of equal access to the Father. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Madison and Charles, for that beautiful message in music for us to hear today. It was lovely and stirring for our spirits. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we give thanks for the gift of your word and pray that we might be blessed with understanding. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that insider and outsider alike are welcome in your love, to become a dwelling place for God. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that we may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the second chapter of Ephesians, there's a beautiful, powerful image about building a dwelling place for God. Paul, or the author of Ephesians, writing in Paul's name, credits Jesus Christ as being the cornerstone, that very heart of the foundation that ties together the entire building, which is the people of God who are the dwelling place. This morning, as a little visual illustration to help us think about building, I've brought in just some tools. A T-square I used in college, a level my dad gave me when I was having a hard time getting a project quite right. A few tools belonged to my grandfather, his favorite putty knife, and an old plumb line that's a little bit rusted but still works just fine. It's an interesting image to think about us, the people of God, being a building, a house for God. The Holy One, the creator of all the universe, chooses to dwell in us. It's hard to kind of get our minds around what that really means. It's easier to think about a dwelling place for God being a church, a physical building. There are bricks around us, laid nice and straight and strong. For the age of this building, it's in really good shape. We think this is God's house, but no, actually, we are God's house. It is hard for us to fathom, after 2,000 years, just how radical this message to the Ephesians is. The heart of these verses 11 to 22 that we've heard talk about a division in the early church. In the church at Ephesus, many of those who were Christians, who were followers of Christ, previously were Gentiles. They knew nothing about religion, about the God who made the universe. They were clueless until they heard preaching from people like Paul and others and learned about Jesus. Then they became believers. The other group in the church at Ephesus were the Jews. They had inherited the gift of faith one generation to the next. They knew the law and the prophets, the teachings of what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. These two groups in society at that point would have had nothing to do with each other. And yet here they were in church together, worshiping Christ, being built together into being a dwelling place for God, a home for God. Yes, it is hard for us to fathom after 2,000 years just how divided those two groups were, one from another, the circumcised from the uncircumcised. References to an ancient Jewish rite for young boys following the teaching of the Abrahamic covenant that had happened for years and years. The little Jewish babies in that early church had been circumcised according to the law. The Gentile babies had not. And so there was debate about what it means. This letter to the Ephesians says what is important is your faith in Christ. That is your cornerstone. That is your foundation. So whether you belong to the circumcision group or the uncircumcision group, it doesn't matter anymore because you belong to each other. Those two groups were so separate at that time that they would not sit down at the table together. In the custom, in the culture of the day, Jews and Gentiles would not share the same utensils, let alone the same meal. And yet here they were as worshipers in the early church, gathered around the table of the Lord. I want you to try to think, just to grasp how radical these verses are, I want you to try to think of the two most disparate groups you can come up with. Maybe we'll start with what's easy and obvious, Democrats and Republicans. In our society right now, we seem to be a little bit politically on edge, and it's easy to name-call one another, lump other people in a different group. The divisions we're talking about between Jews and Gentiles go way beyond political ideologies or different opinions about how government should be run. Let's keep thinking. What if you knew someone who was adamantly opposed to any immigration? They felt that the population of our country is what it should be. We should not have any more immigrants. And you had another friend who was applying for asylum, seeking to become a resident and eventually a citizen of this country. And you invited those two folks to sit down together for coffee at your house. What would that conversation feel like? Or maybe you have two other friends. Maybe you have one friend who's the biggest homophobe you have ever met, and somebody else who is gay and quite comfortable with their sexuality. You decide to invite the two of them to sit down together for coffee and donuts. What would that conversation be like? Maybe we're getting close to the differences that the Jews and the Gentiles felt for one another. Perhaps, just perhaps, you have a work colleague who's African American, who is the head of the local NAACP. And you have another work colleague whom you have just learned is the head of a local Ku Klux Klan group. And you decide to invite those two people over to your house for dinner. That's how radical God is. God chooses people who could not be more polar opposites and tells them to love one another in Christ. What happened at the church in Ephesus and other places in early Christianity was revolutionary, something the world had never seen. And perhaps if we're honest, it's something we still don't see that much today, even within Christendom, within Christianity. We tend to divide more than unite. We each form separate denominations and have different traditions and theologies. And when it comes time to work together to feed the poor, we struggle to do what Jesus would have us do. Being a Christian is not easy. But oh, the blessings are so, so great. We are told to remember that we belong to Christ. The Ephesians were invited to remember before they knew about Christ, how they were strangers or aliens or outsiders. And then they were invited into the community of faith. Now, prior to the time of Christ, you could have a Jewish family that would invite someone who wasn't born a Jew to become a part of the faith. And they could even go through the rite of circumcision. They could have a lot of study. They could become a part of the religion. But in a sense, they were always a second-class citizen, if you will. In the church, where Jesus Christ called people to be his followers, there were no longer first-tier and second-tier members of the family of God. We are all called equally to love one another. It doesn't matter what our race or nationality or language is, what our cultural background is, what our income or educational level is. It doesn't matter what our age is. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of house we live in, what kind of car we drive, what our favorite food is. Jesus is so radical, he invites the vegetarian to sit down with the meat eater and order pizza together. God's love tears down walls, even the walls we put up in our own hearts. Those walls that we build up between ourselves and God, saying, I'm not good enough. Lord, you couldn't possibly forgive my sin. I haven't earned. That wall comes tumbling down by the power of the cross. The wall we put up that says church member, not church member, first time visitor, long time visitor, those boundaries disappear in Jesus. God invites all of us to the same table. And when we sit down with one another, we realize some of us may be hungry and some are well fed, so let's share what we have. That's what the building of God looks like, the dwelling place, the home of God. A place that is so radically diverse and inclusive, our brains can't even wrap around it. A place where you are welcome and you are loved. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. And once you glimpse that love and really take it in, you realize you want to share it with other people. And so you do this crazy Christian thing called evangelism. You start inviting other people to come learn about God's love. And suddenly, it doesn't matter who you invite. You see, First Christian Church is not an exclusive club where all the members look just alike and you only invite people who are just like you. The church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, is a place where everyone is welcome. Those who have it all figured out and those whose lives are a wreck and falling apart, we belong to one another. It's a place where on a Sunday morning, a woman can say, please pray for my daughter because her liver is falling apart. And someone else can say, I'm not even going to be in worship today because I'm struggling with anxiety and depression, but please tell people to pray for me. And we will. The church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, looks unlike anything else the world has ever seen. So it's no surprise that sometimes people just don't get it. Because after all, the world is filled with fans who can only cheer for the Denver Broncos or another team. The world around us is filled with folks who are divided between the Chicago Cubs and the White Sox, and never shall the two meet. But at the table of the Lord, they're both invited to come together. The world around us tries to tell us, stick a label on yourself, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, fit in this little box, and don't you dare get outside of it. But we belong to a God who tears down walls and erases divisions in boxes and calls us to love one another as best as we can. And is it messy? Yeah. But is it also beautiful and powerful? My goodness, yes. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone on which we stand. And when our focus is completely on Christ, all of a sudden we're willing to reach out and hold hands with one another. And it doesn't matter how different we may be from each other, for we all belong together in Jesus. May you find a welcome in this place. May you know that God loves you unconditionally. And may you share that good news with someone else, even someone who's a little bit different. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is The Church's One Foundation, number 272. We'll sing together verses 1, 2, and 5. And if there's anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home, we would be honored to welcome you at First Christian Church. We welcome new members by confession of faith in Christ, baptism if you've never been baptized, or transfer from another Christian body. We'd also welcome you just to come forward if you need someone to pray with you today. You are welcome here. Let us stand and sing together The Church's One Foundation.
Sorry.
That's okay. Would remind you that there is a fellowship time waiting for us downstairs. There's coffee and lots of wonderful refreshments today. I'd encourage you to stay and greet someone, meet someone you haven't met before. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the price you paid for our salvation. May we live this week in such a way that others see you in us, and may we welcome strangers and aliens alike, friends and neighbors, family and foe. May we welcome all to your table of grace. Amen.